Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure, as always. Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious, at your service. And you got to be glad you stayed with us because our good buddy Rich Galen is back with us. Rich is the publisher, editor, writer, accountant, and also the security detail over at Mullings.com. He's a political operative, and he helps works on those kinds of issues, especially from the Republican perspective. As he says, he spins to the right. And Mullings.com is the website. It's a thrice weekly cyber column that I encourage you to check out. If you're a Republican, you're going to want to read what he says. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to see what he's up to. But mostly, he's our good friend. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you back. First time back since we have our new president. Before we go there, though, I want to talk about something that that I think is really good, going to be really good for our country, because of the impact I think he's going to have on a lot of levels, not just the Republican Party. I'm excited about your new Republican National Committee chairman. Tell the audience about him.
Yeah, Michael Steele. He's really an interesting guy. I've known him for a long time.
He's been on this show before.
Oh, good. And you know, he's coming directly. What happened? Just to do his background, he was a county chairman in Prince George's County, which is one of the Maryland counties that borders the District of Columbia. He was the state chairman of Maryland, GOP state chairman. He ran for and was elected lieutenant governor, the first African-American statewide Maryland official ever.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland's a state that is as red as you can get. I mean, they never are blue as they can get.
I was going to correct you on that one.
And then he ran for United States Senate for an open Senate seat and was just treated dreadfully by the Democrat community in Maryland. It was just disgusting. But you know, he's just a very positive. He's a lawyer, very positive guy. Ran GOPAC, which is where I came out of. So we have that tie, and I think the world of
him. Highly intelligent individual.
Yeah, and very
extremely. He is in a lot of ways. In my opinion, I mean, he reminds me a lot. He and Barack Obama remind me a lot of each other.
Except for the they are
except for the politics
of one another.
except for their politics. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. He's very exactly right. The way these things work is that it's not like a primary where hundreds of thousands or millions of people vote. There's 168 people on the Republican side that vote because they're the only members of the committee, the Republican National Committee, and generally it's a state committeeman, state committee woman, and the state chairman of each of the states, and then some territories in Puerto Rico and places like that. So it turns out you can need 85 votes, and there were five guys running in it. An African American guy named
Blackwell.
Blackwell, thank you.
Yeah.
From Ohio, and then
I got you back.
Yeah, thank you. And then three other guys, two of whom were members of the committee. And Steele presented his case so well that that he ended up winning. Took six ballots, but he got there and immediately, took control of the operation. So I'm going to say
something right here, Rich. I'm not going to say that if Barack Obama had not won the election, that this didn't have some influence with Steele being elected as a chairman of the Republican National Committee. But I will tell you, he's completely fully qualified, and I think there's every chance he would still have been elected. This is not a point counterpoint necessarily kind of thing. Would you agree with me on that?
Oh, yeah, no, I think that's exactly right. I just think that politics is really kind of a, we've talked about this before, it's really an entrepreneurial endeavor. If people don't like you or don't like what you're saying or don't like how you're saying it, then they don't give you any money and they don't give you any support. If they do, then you can make your way through it. And that's you know, it's like sports or the arts. You don't have to wait in line, you know, at AT&T or somebody for, you know, 15 guys to die ahead of you before you can get promoted. You can make your own way, and he certainly has.
Well, he's fully qualified, and I've been impressed with him for a long time, and he's going to be a good standard bearer for the Republican Party. And from the standpoint that the country needs two healthy parties, Rich, that's my point when I originally said this is a good thing for the country.
Absolutely.
Not just for the Republican Party. Stand by, quick break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about some of the stuff that's being proposed these days. And some of the things that are going on in Washington. Is it going to be good for you and me? You already know how I feel about some of this. We'll see what Rich has to say. 20 after. Stay with us. Here's the small business anthem, if there ever was one. Atlanta Rhythm Section, ERS.
When everything goes wrong, you
here it
have
is.
To go.
Wait for it.
And do it or die.
That's it. Do it or die, small business owners. That's what you do. That's what I do. We know about these things, don't we? We're committed. We're like the pig in the breakfast, right? We're not just participating in the breakfast. We're committed to it, aren't we? Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and they don't call me the king of pork. King of Segway for nothing, Rich. Speaking of pork, boy, I flubbed that one. I was going so well there for a minute, wasn't I, Rich? I flubbed that one. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend, and I was doing so well there. I just didn't get to put it off. You know, I guess I'll have to go back and work. Practice that a little bit more. Anyway, Rich Galen, folks, is with us, and Mullings.com is his website. And Rich, last week, I guess it was, the House produced something that, in my opinion, is the most horrible, horrific, disgusting piece of legislation that I've ever seen in my life. They call it a stimulus bill. It's under the guise of being something that's going to stimulate the economy. But I want to read something, Rich, that I pointed out last week, that I consider this. If you don't have to read the whole bill, ladies and gentlemen, but for 95% of all this $818 billion, this thing I'm going to read to you right now is the poster child for the rest of the bill. $6 billion to fund weatherizing modest income homes.
Right.
That's a poster child. And there are worse ones in here too, by the way, folks. I didn't want to, you know, show you the some of the horrible ones. But Rich, that's not going to stimulate the economy. And this is an example, that's a perfect example of what's in this bill. And what I said last week, Rich, was, look, if you want to pass this, call it what it is. It's just a money spending bill. Don't call it a stimulus package, because stimulus packages get the economy going again and create jobs. This does neither. What do you think?
No, that's exactly right. It's one of the the phrase of art here in Washington for something like this is, for all the obvious reasons, a Christmas tree. Everybody gets to hang the ornament that they want, their pet project, their pet bill, their pet spending project, onto this Christmas tree, knowing full well that it's got to get passed, and anything you can sneak in, you can sneak in. Now, here's the thing that our listeners have to pay attention to. The Senate is taking it up this week. It will not survive in anything nearly like what came over there. None of the Senate, even Democratic senators.
And will that be because of the threat of a filibuster?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
Do you think the Republicans can hold Collins and Snow in line and prevent and pull off a filibuster?
Yeah, I think I'm not even sure they're going to have to, because I don't think the Senate. The rules in the Senate are so different than the House, and the Majority Leader Harry Reid has already talked about the fact that they're going to let senators offer amendments and make changes. So my guess is, and this is just a guess because you never know, my guess is this is going to be much heavier on the tax side, which is to say, to grant tax credits, tax extenders,
right,
those sorts of things, which because it's Washington. The money that they let us keep people keep.
Right.
It counts as they count that as an expenditure of the federal government. That's,
right.
That's the Orwellian way they think.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I think that it would be very difficult, even if they lost Collins or Snow, and Snow even, the two senators from Maine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that there are some what they call blue dog Democrats that probably don't want to go back to their home states and say, oh yeah, I voted for that. That was a really good bill.
Have you seen more grassroots outrage since September, when there was so much outrage over the banking, the rescue package? Aren't we seeing more grassroots noise now than more than we've seen, maybe ever seen?
Yeah, and it keeps getting worse. I mean, this business with Tom Daschle not paying $128,000 in taxes, and still, you know, supposed to be the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I mean, that's the kind of thing that just drives a stake in the heart of, happily, of bills like this, because people back home understand that this is that they're not members of this club. Tom mm-hmm. Daschle is. So he not only does he get to pay the money back whenever he wants, he discovered this last, I guess, June, and finally got around to paying it in January. There's probably some accountant in the audience can probably say, oh, yeah, that's so you can write off the
And this is basically year. two weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Geithner first.
Yeah. Bill Kristol yesterday said that, you know, Geithner, you might let slide because that's such a the whole Wall Street, you know, he was a former Fed president, and Wall Street is so complex that maybe you do need him in there that because he's been working on this stuff already mm-hmm. when he was the Fed chairman of New York. He said, but nobody, no, you know, you can hire anybody to be the head of Homeland Security. When I wrote the column for this morning, I said the Republic would not miss the vacancy at all. I mean, if they didn't appoint anybody,
right,
it would be fine. But that's the sort of thing that goes to what you're saying, Jim, that people really are rising up and saying, you have got to get this under, you people have got to focus on what we need, not what on you want. And
Rich, this is what I've been saying is, folks, these things are not Republican or Democrat issues. These are political class issues.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I said. Either you're in the club or you're not in the club. Either
yeah.
you, I mean, and again, this business last week of billions with a B, dollars of bonuses being paid out to people from companies that were received billions of dollars from us.
Well, we now know that there's no shame on Wall Street, and there's no shame on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Or on Capitol Hill.
On Capitol Hill, yeah, exactly. 10 till. We're going to be right back with our good friend Rich Galen after these messages. Mullings.com is his website. I encourage you to check it out. It's a good one. Welcome back. It's 7 till. Little Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. Don't forget to check out my blog. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Lots and lots of other things there to help you with your small business. Rich Galen is our guest. His website is mullings.com. Rich is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. We're talking a little bit of little politics, a little public policy, especially with regard to how it affects you and me. Rich, one of the things, quickly, let's wrap up. You think on the stimulus package, will it pass? Will it be a bill that will stimulate the economy when the Senate gets through with it? So more than it does now?
Yes, I think absolutely it will. I think both Republicans. That's one of the good things about having a 6-year term. You get to think through this a little bit more and not have the ideological reflectiveness.
So instead of
that you need now.
Instead of 100% of your votes being decided because about getting reelected like it is in the House, only 65% are in the Senate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
No, I was actually I know the math on the 33%. I think it's probably a little more than that. Anyway, okay. There's another thing that the president said Thursday that really troubled me. Now this Employee Free Choice Act, I've been hitting it pretty hard over the last few months because this is a real assault on entrepreneurship, and that's the union bill that would literally legally do away with the secret ballot of workers when they to vote on organizing a union in their business. And it's not the Free Choice Act. They call it that, but it's not free choice at all. This is a bad, bad, anti-American bill. But even so, while the economy's trying to turn itself around, and we're trying to encourage people to not lay off everybody, the president comes out and says he loves unions. He thinks we don't have enough unions. He can't get enough. I mean, I'm telling you, it was almost a little love fest that he had with unions on Thursday, Rich.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's walking this tightrope. He's trying to be everything to everybody, and you know the old political saying: if you're going to try to, you know, walk in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over by cars in both directions. That came on the heels of, or just before, I forget the order, of him meeting with a bunch of CEOs in the Oval Office. So his political people, I think, are getting into that state of mind very quickly. That because they work in the White House, they know more than everybody else on every single subject.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing that starts chipping away at credibility, and starts chipping away at popularity. And this is why it's easier to be a candidate than it is to be in office. The things that you have to do in office are much harder than the things you say you want to do when you're running.
Like the dog who chased the car and caught it. Now that I got it, what do I do with it?
Now what?
What do I do? Well,
but
the
car check deal is for Obama, I believe this is a free shot because it'll never get through the Senate. It'll get through
right.
the House because they've got a 78-seat majority. but he knows it won't get through the Senate. Probably. His advisors, his economic folks, don't want it to go through the Senate because it'll just put the brakes on anything that is stimulative that comes out. And he gets to take the credit for trying. He says, "Well, I tried to do it, but it was those crazy guys over in the Senate that wouldn't."
But with irony, you could cut with a knife. The day he said that, the entire country of France was shut down from union strikes. at a moment when one of the big plates on his desk. One of the big issues on his plate, I should say, is what do I do with the big three automakers, which largely have a large reason why they're about to go down is because of ridiculous union contracts they agreed to. You know, you could cut the irony with a knife. Here he is saying, I think we need more unions. I just don't get it. Rich, one other thing, when you talk to the folks up there, and I know you have a great deal of influence there on Capitol Hill, tell them small business owners. We need tax breaks, but we don't need more deductions because those only help if we're profitable.
That's
this
right.
year, we're just trying to survive. We need tax breaks. We need access to capital. We need some kind. If they're going to help small business owners, don't give us things we can't use, like more deductions.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I will do that. I hadn't thought of it that way because I don't do my own taxes.
They've got the Section 179, $250,000 direct expensing for equipment. Well, if you raise that to $500,000, that makes you feel good, Mr. Legislator. But we're not going to buy $250,000, let alone $500,000.
That's right.
It does nothing for us.
We can't find anybody to loan us the money to do it, even if we need it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Now this thing is in a. It's really clenched pretty tight.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, we have people who really don't know what they're doing, a bunch of lawyers for the most part,
in
the House and the Senate, who have never run a business and have no clue how to do it, that are trying to figure it out.
God help us. Hey, Rich, thanks for being here. Good job today. I feel a little safer knowing you're inside the Beltway, Rich.
don't let us
down, Rich. I'll see you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.